question on two. You got tired of waiting. You got tired of waiting, people. Well, good, Brother Cindy, do you hear me clearly?
Yes.
And we can see.
Yeah, hi.
And you clear, you know?
One, two.
What's happening, Brother Cindy?
Seems that you have not the original sound switch on.
Can you hear what's up, Brother Steve?
Yeah, we can hear your voice, but not your guitar, because your original voice is not on, I guess.
Because...
Can you see up in your right corner something like... original sounds for musician?
Yeah.
On or off?
Do you have to have it on or off?
It should be on.
On. Okay, try that.
Yeah.
Check on two. Assistant,
yeah. Yeah, play your guitar, because...
Play your guitar?
Yeah. We don't have a guitar.
So it's the original sound for musicians is on.
Yeah, and that means that it catch every sound. It doesn't have any filter on, so it should take both your voice and your guitar and everything. So it should be good.
We did put on the original sound. Wasn't my fault, everybody. Teresa lost the key for the white truck. Well, she can be spent. So our money idiot to stay home. They were just about crying when they walked back into the house.
Is your mic, brother? Is it switched on? Have you turned it on? Because we cannot hear anything from you. We can only hear a pastor's voice.
Samuel, how did we get to hear Brother Steen?
Yeah, is he talking?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I don't know how you have connected.
I'll give
them.
Oh,
indeed.
Here we go.
No, you'll be good.
I'm supposed to be.
So.
So what's this one going to do?
You can start tick the mic and check what microphone is turned to your system. This is the right mic you have chosen. If you go down in the left corner and tick the arrow. Is it the mic that you
just
have?
Just wait for it. I will just start anyway. You're getting too late.
Yeah.
Who's taking the first?
We're going to start.
So we're not working. Who is working? The last one, the same, you think?
Brother Sitstein, just say something, just to see if it's hooked up.
Yeah. Can you? Yeah, it's hooked up because I can see a green run around our picture means that I'm speaking. So you just have to check your mic if the right mic is connected to the Zoom.
Yeah, we're at 30.
Yep. Still okay. Not coming through. You have to unmute the thing.
So you can't hear us. Seems that you can't hear us.
Yep.
Just turn it down a bit. Just turn it down a bit.
Now say something, Steve.
Yeah, we are making a test here. It's always a challenge to get it everything right. But we will make it. So you have two microphones now or what? Yeah. Can you hear us? No?
No,
you can't. No.
It's Larry, though. It's what? Who's? Our internet. Oh, that's the best we can do, Brother Steen. We'll see how it goes from there.
Okay.
Yep.
Lord, we give you thanks for the many gifts that you've given, the fellowship, Lord, and the gift of worship, Lord, offer to you, Lord, so just Holy Spirit come and the lips and the voices, Lord, we should be able to create an atmosphere for you, Lord. So it's our time of fellowship. It's our ether waves, Lord. You have your way, Lord. May, Lord, the inspiration, Lord, that is here be caught, Lord. Wherever those that are listening, Lord, all the way in heaven, may the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, Lord, just bless them, I say to them, Lord. Thanks and praise in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. 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 Come into this place.
Thank you. And Once you should come out from the ground,
We can live with the coffee spirits. Amen. Let's just bow our heads in a word of prayer. Our gracious Father, when we worship the Lord, we see a large part of that is to create an atmosphere, not just around us, but in us.
Right.
It allows us, Lord, to break into another realm. Allows us to come out of the things of this world and the things of this life.
Yeah.
Come out of temporal things.
Yes, sir.
To be able to come into eternal things.
Mm.
And that's just by worship. Mm. We also realize, Lord, that the fellowship that we have must be able to produce fruit.
Mm.
It can't be just fellowship alone.
Right.
Because, Lord, a lot of times energy goes into fellowship for leaves.
Yeah.
We're not wanting to produce leaves.
Mm.
We're wanting to produce fruit.
Right.
And sometimes, Lord, this is what I believe James saw.
Yeah.
When he said, show me your faith without works.
Yeah.
And I'll show you my faith by my works.
Amen.
So it was a good balance of fellowship.
Yeah.
But there was definite fruit.
Yeah.
That came from these things. And I know, Lord, if all of our effort is just in fellowship, it's only leaves.
Yeah.
But if we can get that balance, if it means we got to cut away some leaves so that the energy goes into bearing fruit, then so be it, Lord. Thy will be done.
True.
Now, I know, Lord, the leaves, when we examine these things by your word, the leaves were the church ages.
Yeah.
The leaves were the fundamental foundations of the faith.
Yes.
The church ages was to bring us into fellowship with God.
Yeah.
But it wasn't fellowship yet.
Yeah.
It was only to get us into fellowship condition.
Right.
But then, Lord, you place us in a place where you could come down.
Yeah, amen.
You could come into the house.
Yeah, amen.
It allowed us to cross beyond the veil and come into the holiest of holies. It allowed us to come into intimacy of relationship with God.
Yeah.
And then, Lord, I believe that our minds can be renewed.
Yeah, true.
Like we heard Sunday, Lord, we are not called to be conformed to this world.
Right.
But to be transformed by the renewing of their minds.
Glory.
And that for me, Lord, is the importance of the teaching.
Yeah,
the teaching of the word.
Yes.
Evangelism is just to bring people from the world into fellowship with God.
Yeah.
But fellowship is you, Lord, teaching us your word.
Yep.
And we're being transformed, quickened, changed.
Yeah.
By the renewing of our mind.
Yeah.
So, Father, in our time of fellowship tonight, open up these things.
Yes.
Right. Expound to us more detail of what we were hearing.
Yeah.
First, Lord, in perfect love, perfect faith, and perfect gifts for the first service.
Yeah.
And now, Lord, being able to see and hear the vision from eternity to eternity. And that gives us a fullness of the word, Lord.
Yeah. Amen.
Now, when we have that kind of information, Lord, we can always make the right decisions. Mm. We can always know your mind and your will.
Yeah.
And that's the thing, Lord. We want to be walking in your perfect will in all things.
Right.
So, Father, we commit our time into your hands. We commit the time of fellowship into your hands.
Hey.
But most of all, for 2025, we want to be able to produce fruit.
Yeah.
The fruit of a supernatural God.
Yes.
Grant these things, Father, I pray. Let our minds, our hearts be focused upon fulfilling these things.
Yes.
Grant it, Father, I pray.
Glory.
Well, I ask all of these things in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen.
So, you fellas can hear us in Zoom land? Clear? So, I really wanted to expand a little bit on what we were looking at for from Sunday service. And I know we laid quite a bit in there. And you know, I started from Matthew 24, something that is very familiar with everybody. But why did I start from Matthew 24? What was the purpose behind starting there?
The church that needs the word.
Say again?
The church that needs the word.
Right. Further. It was a church that knew the word. And what stage were the disciples at by the time they got to Matthew 24? They understood the fellowship. Anything else?
Healing.
Say again? They had healing in the church, which they were commissioned.
Fundamental foundations.
They had the fundamental foundations. They were taught by the shepherd. They had the mechanics. Right. So the mechanics was what took place inside the sheep coat. So they had sheep coat food. And then when the shepherd was leading them out, they now had to readjust the appetite. Now remember, the disciples have gone out.
Yeah.
They've entered into end time evangelism. They know the principles of how to find the names in the book. They are rejoicing because even devils are subject to them. So they're in a place where they're getting quite mature in the word, but as yet, they haven't produced the fruit of an understanding from eternity back to eternity again. And of course, they need the Holy Ghost for that. Because what we were talking about, what I see a part of the vision is for 2025. Perfect love first. For perfect gifts, for perfect faith and perfect gifts. Each one of those parts needs to be broken down. We spend a long time on divine love. We sifted it through the scripture. Then I wanted to bring things back and start to focus on what perfect faith was all about. Because if you've got those two things, automatically there's perfect gifts. Now, I don't know whether I mentioned it in the Sunday morning service. I did mention it in the Vietnam meeting. But I was speaking about how that the Ephesians church, they were a church that could be taught and positionally placed, right? The Ephesians church could understand headship. Did he teach headship in the Ephesians church? And if so, where did he teach it? Anybody? Hey, this is fellowship. This is not just me talking. Where would he have taught about headship? My goodness, man. To me, it's so, these things are so simple. These are simple principles. Because he says, husbands, love your wives. Right? That's in Ephesians chapter 5. And then he says, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. So as Christ is the head of the husband, then the husband gives headship and leadership to the wife and children. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands in all things. Is that scripture? This is where he's teaching headship. And then he comes further down and he says, children, obey your parents. So then you see the order. God above us, giving leadership to the husband giving leadership to his wife and his children. And that's where he's speaking about headship. So the Ephesians church understands headship. The Ephesians church understands the five ministerial gifts because he speaks about those things. Where does he speak about the five ministerial gifts? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. And what was the fivefold ministry for? Perfecting of the saints. The work of the ministry. To edify the body in love. To positionally place us. And to bring us into the unity of the faith. Is another one of these strong ones. And then the church is positionally placed so that every member of the body, this is what I'm talking about, perfect gifts, is working in their place and position to edify the body in love. That's one of the keys right there. Now, in the Ephesian church age, what happened to the Ephesians church? I can't hear Sister Heptas. Right. The Ephesians church, the first part he says, I know your works. But he said, I've got something against you because you aimed at perfection. Thanks, Lena. And relaxed. Now, perfection was divine love. They had divine love in the church. But they didn't continue in divine love. Now, this is something that could be a problem. In other words, the Ephesians church was encouraged to continue in perfect love. They didn't. So what they had, the Ephesians church had, they aimed at perfection and relaxed. And they relaxed because of the pressure that was coming from Mystery Babylon. They relaxed. I called it because of colonialism or the Roman rule of divide and conquer. They relaxed because they started to come into fear instead of faith. Now, that's easy to do, saints. This is why I chose those portions of scripture and wanted to open up these things, because I don't want you to relax. And it's so easy to relax. Especially during what we would call holiday season. We think we need a holiday. You know, that's that really is a Roman doctrine. I mean, this whole seasons thing, everybody, this is the amazing part. I think I mentioned it, you know, how that Andrew bought this flash new boat that he can only use two weeks a year. Because of lifestyles. Because that's the holiday time, everybody lets loose, and that's a mental thing. It's a mental attitude. That Mystery Babylon has really ingrained in us. Oh, I got to have a rest. Oh, I got to have a holiday. I got to have this. That's a mental attitude. Oh, it's been a hard year. Mate, I don't think any of you's preached 32 services in 14 days. But what kind of break are we looking for? Are we looking for a physical break? Are we looking for a mental break? This is what I'm saying, is what people get fixed in their mind. And that is a colonial image that's set, and we think we need to have this. But if we had perfect faith and perfect love, where's the mental strain in perfect love and perfect faith? So this is why I wanted to punch some of these things home. And I wanted to show you, by using Matthew 24, they had all the teaching. They had the teacher themselves, himself among them, the word himself. He was teaching on, what did he teach up in Mount Transfiguration? Glorified body, terrestrial body, celestial body. He taught them those things. And then he says, see thou, tell no man when he come down. He talked them about dimensions. Anybody know where he taught about dimensions? 2 Corinthians, yes. What about where he was teaching to his disciples about dimensions? Think about it. Shall I give you some clues? Yeah, a little bit, but not clearly on the dimensions. What about when he's healing Jairus' daughter? Does he have to go into another dimension? to find where she is. And then when he's found where she is, how to call her back. And what about when he's teaching about Lazarus who died? And the Pharisee who died? Or the rich young ruler who died? Was he teaching on dimensions? Because he was teaching about the regions of the lost? Because that's where the rich young ruler was. And then he was teaching on the regions of the blessed, because that's where Lazarus and Abraham were.
Yeah.
You see, he was teaching them dimensions. He was teaching so many different things to them. But they were still locked into colonialism and Romanism. And that's why I was using Matthew 24. Because they've come to show him the temple. They're showing the temple the temple. They were the tourist guides, as I was saying on Sunday. They're showing him the outer court, the inner court, where the holiest of holies was. And he could have given them such detail on all of these things. And they thought that they were doing him a service. And then what does he do? Because he's got to take them from this natural terrestrial thinking and place them in a place where they're automatically first line of thought is the mind of God. And so when they've asked him about the temple, show him the temple, he said, don't look on these things. What are you looking on these things for? In other words, don't let your focus be, the first part of your focus, don't let it be on the natural things. Look first upon the word, automatic, because Mystery Babylon takes us to circumstantial things, first off. Takes us to natural things. So even though disciples had so much teaching and deep teaching, this is what I'm saying to you. You all have had deep teaching. But I try to use simple things to teach. I will try to take you through always examples in the scripture so you can compare spiritual things with spiritual things. And in Matthew 24, he says, don't look on those things. Because they asked him three questions. Now he was going to answer by the word. He was going to bring the word up out of history. He was going to show them that they've got to be able to break away from political realms, religious realms, because Mystery Babylon had now ingrained in them that even their own priests with teaching the law without grace. Even their own priests, when the word came, rejected the word. And then when Jesus had gathered a lot of disciples together and he starts to preach the word to them, and he preaches in such a way that all of the unbelievers and the make-believers would be gone, he said, except you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. Right? And what happened? 70 of the disciples left. So what was it? Even though they were under some pretty deep teaching, there's got to be something on the inside to be able to respond to the word. Now, there was a time that because we didn't have a whole loaf, we took a slice. Eh? And that's what you had in your denominational churches. You had a slice. But you had a hunger for the loaf. Now that's because there's something within you. Your appetite wanted and needed more than the sauce. But what about, what do you reckon? You got a full loaf now? And then with the full loaf, you got to be able to eat the whole loaf. You got to be able to eat the crust. Some prefer the crust. Baptize it in butter. Put on some of that manuka and bush honey. And have a jubilee. But look at what I was saying, that the prophet was saying about your humanistic faith and divine faith. And the humanistic faith will not produce the promises. Now, this is why, you know, 25 is all about fruit. It's all about the life of Christ being produced in you and I. Now, remember, I said last year that from the book of Daniel, chapter 12, the Bible said knowledge shall increase. And, of course, it has done. But if knowledge is increased, the life must increase also. Because I see a lot of this in the message. Actually, there's a lot of knowledge of the message. Not always lines up with the knowledge of the word. But it's hard to see the life. You know, we had a couple of families come over home today. I hadn't met them. They were a denominational pastor and his assistant. I think one was a Kiwi, eh? So the pastor was a Kiwi. Those are those ones that, you know, I was booking a hall over here for them to come. Anyway, talked to them twice on the phone, never met them before in my life. They come over, a pastor and assistant pastor, their wives and two daughters. They come in, they're outside, and I'm forgotten to tell Teresa that they were coming, right? Because when they rang me, I was driving. And you know, I mean, you just focus on driving. And it just slipped my mind. They said to me they'd be here between 10 and 11. They come knocking on the door and Teresa's out there and say, oh, hi. You know, acting as if she knew them. But what I'm trying to say is, I mean, they're all in shorts. Men are all in shorts. The wives are all in shorts and the girls are in shorts. And it's like, what, do I look at them and say, nah, you guys ain't coming to my house? And we had, Brother Valerie and Sister Anne, they were inside. We were just having a brunch. Breakfast and lunch mixed in together. Anyway, they come in. We create an atmosphere. We invite them in, welcome them in, greet them, sit down, still creating an atmosphere. And I'm watching Valerie watching me. Right, in Message Believer and over in Lithuania, it's like I said to him afterwards, because he said to me afterwards, he says, my goodness, I think I'm going to be able to learn something here. Because he's wanting to see how I interact with these people. He thought I knew them. He thought that we had met before because it was just like we were welcoming in old friends. And so we're fellowshipping together, we're creating an atmosphere, we're talking about mission work because he's been in mission fields and everything like that. And I find they are so easy to talk to, so open to listen to testimonies of the goodness and grace of the Lord. And Valeri's looking and he's saying, man, I learned something from that. I said, who is the ones, would you have a open fellowship with denominational churches in your country? Are they open to you or are you open to them?
True.
I said, do you open up opportunities for fellowship with them or do they open up opportunities to fellowship with you? He said the other way around. Because in the message, they're too legal.
Yeah.
It's like they came out of Pentecost, so why would we want to go back into that?
That's right.
Now, where's... Yeah. I can't understand that kind of thinking.
Yeah.
So what he said, he learned something. Now, why I'm saying this is that sometimes it's actually a lot easier to talk to people that have got no perception of you.
Yeah.
And like they leave with a desire to come back. They leave with an understanding there's an open door here.
True.
Now, for me, some of that mental colonialism is ingrained.
Yeah.
And only real perfect love and perfect faith can break it.
Yeah.
Only perfect love can cause us to know the will of God and walk in it.
Yeah.
Regardless of the sacrifice that we got to make to walk in it. And only perfect love will produce perfect faith that we can see from eternity to eternity and make the right decisions from that. Now, remember when I was using that quote from Perfect Faith, and I was saying to know the mind of the Lord, we must have the right objective, the right motive, right? We must be able to die to what?
Self-will.
Have to be able to die to self-will. Not my will, but thy will be done. And the will of man. And the will of man is the influences of this world and this life. And then we can fulfill the will of God. Now this is a true believer knows the mind of God. We know what he wants done with the word. We have, thus saith the Lord, or we stand still.
Yeah.
Now, brethren, 2025, we have got to get out of the habit of doing something without it being his will. How easy is that going to be? To die to self-will and the will of man. The will of man is influences of other voices. How easy is it? Easy as? You see, I had to overcome myself. Because I'm quite willful. Willful into a place where, you know, my children used to say I'm one of the most stubborn persons they know. But I don't call it stubborn. I call it faith and conviction. I stick with the mind of Christ regardless of what anybody thinks about it. I make a stand for the word. But I had to overcome my own will. Remember, I was telling you my will was to go to Ukraine. And then I had to examine my motive and my objective. Am I going because I love a challenge? And yes, I love a challenge. Am I going because of that? I had to examine it. I had to look at it. Is this the mind of the Lord? And then I got some warning bells. Because to know the mind of the Lord, what do we do to know his mind and his will about any situation? What's that?
Remain neutral.
You wait on the Lord and you wait neutral. Right? Then what will happen? He will lean you a certain way. Don't move yet. Wait until he confirms it. Because by two or three witnesses, let every word be established. This is the bride has thus saith the Lord, or she stands still. And then when he confirms it, walk in it without doubting, without fear.
Sure.
He will fulfill it.
Sure.
And these are not things that we don't know. So, and this is one of the reasons why I was using Matthew 24, because they were advanced.
Yeah.
I'm using it as a pattern to show you we've got to climb a little higher. Because to produce the fruit of rapturing faith, we've got to climb higher. And the Lord is giving us an opportunity, just like he did, for the disciples to go beyond what they were taught. Now, Matthew 24 was the overview of the book of Revelations. That's one of the meetings that we finished 2024 with. Sometimes, brethren, I go back over some of the services that I've preached, and I'm looking at a pattern. Why did he allow us to come here? Then he opened up this part, then he opened up this part, and he opened up this part, and there was a continuity all the way. And he's bringing us from glory to glory. He's allowing you to behold the image of the word, and then we're transformed into the image that we're beholding. Now, you see, I can share with you these things and not even need notes, because it's engraved in my heart. And the other thing is, because I live it, I don't just preach it, I live it. And for me, I never do something half-pipe. Anybody that knows me knows that I will do things 100%. So if I'm looking at the word and I'm wanting to lift you up higher, I'm looking at all the different angles on how we're going to be able to achieve this. And I've got to present it in a way that you can see the vision and you walk in the vision. So Jesus knew that the disciples were just ready now to come up an octave higher. And I think that's where we are, because we can see in 2024 that there was a lot of things that we achieved, but there was sometimes we didn't achieve. There wasn't the kind of consistency that our consistency in the word requires. It's not for a lack of the teaching of the word. It's a lack of our actioning of the word. So I found that many times, even when I'm speaking about different things, the Lord had to come back around again and around again and present it in another way until finally the word was made flesh, and then I can move on. Even ministries that would come up here, they would complement a lot of the things that have been ministered in another way, in probably a more simplistic way.
Yeah.
And this is why your appetite is a certain way. There's a certain hunger and a thirst for the word. And then you notice I didn't go any further into the detail in Matthew 24. I was just wanting to show you that even though all of the teaching was there, they were still locked in. What do you think was still hindering them? The disciples, why Jesus had to teach like this. What caused them just to look at the natural things and not look at the spiritual things? Think about it. What was hindering them?
Faith. His faith wasn't strong enough to walk in it. Still couldn't see it, the revelation of it.
Not strong enough faith yet?
Standing the dimensions.
Didn't fully understand dimensions by experience. They got the mechanics of it, but they hadn't understood when the Lord was showing the mechanics, the dynamics. And they just thought, oh, this was just church. This is just the way it is. Now, when Jesus is fulfilling it, it's easy. But what about when they have to get in the wheelbarrow now? Yeah, he had to come into that experience. Or even other examples of the boy, with epileptic boy. And they couldn't remove that. This one comes out only by fasting and prayer. All of these different things. You see, because this is a part of it too, is that the colonialism, which is the effects of Mystery Babylon, it's just another word for the effects of Mystery Babylon.
Yeah.
Kept them in a mental state, in a mental attitude that Jesus needed to break them out of. That's why Revelation 18, come out of her, my people. This is what we have to do in 2025. Come out of that kind of thinking. This is why I went into a little bit of detail, probably more detail about colonialism than I have before. Because colonialism isn't a word. It's not just a word. It's a system. And the head of that colonialistic system is Babylon. And the head of it is Rome. It's a Washington and Vatican alliance. It's a mentality that's ingrained in the people. Since way back. And if you want to put a face on Romanism and the Vatican Alliance, it's Satan incarnate in flesh. And that's what I want you to break out from. Because colonialism is Satanism. The deeds of the Nicolaitans to conquer the people. Isn't that colonialism? To divide them and then conquer them. And he's doing a terrific job of dividing and conquering. Now, I just wanted to maybe refresh your minds a little bit. Now, what is somebody give us your understanding of colonialism? Somebody give me their understanding of what colonialism is.
Cage without bars.
Say again, brother.
A cage without bars.
You hear that? There was a cage without bars. That's Revelations 18, verse 2 and 3. Anybody else, sister? Yeah, grab the mic. So I don't have to repeat for all the followers on Zoom. Is that on?
Some of the words used, like Awanatama is from the word governor, so that's Caiaphas. He sentenced Jesus to death. And it's used freely over the whole life sentiments.
Right.
No, I'm shocked about it. I don't think I realize Caiaphas was a governor too.
Right. So, Kawanatanga in comparison to what?
It is governor.
Yeah.
Kawanatanga.
But that replaced what? Like governorship instead of sovereignty, eh?
Yeah, pushing it out.
Yeah, and what was the word that they used for sovereignty? Right. There was a difference. Tino Rangatiratanga was Maori didn't concede their sovereignty. And then they didn't have a word for that, so they changed it into Kawanatanga, which is governance or shared governance. Now you think about that for a while, because that's what Romanism did. At Nicene Council, they united paganism with Christianity. And that's very similar, actually, to things that was happening during those times. And then the thing was to assimilate, to bring in Christianity into their pagan Roman rule. That's what they wanted to do, was to actually bring Māoridom through politics and religion. And their religion was not Christianity. It was Roman Catholic.
Yeah.
Not Christianity that we know of.
Right.
And so Christianity got a bad name amongst Maori,
yeah,
because that was the religious side. And then the political side was the agenda to take control of the resources of New Zealand.
Right.
So see, you're starting to understand a little bit about colonialism. And it goes right back into the Bible. Because one of the first colonialists was the serpent.
Yeah.
And he uses politics on Eve because he couldn't use his politics on Adam.
Yeah.
And I tell you something, brethren, sometimes you're being manipulated by politics and you don't know it. You're being influenced by something else and you're not even aware that that influence is there to take you away from the will of God.
Yeah.
And sometimes you can be moving in a political realm and don't even realize it.
True.
Look at the politics in the church back in Jesus' day. Who was that mother that came with her sons and said that they wanted to be on the right-hand side and on the left? And, of course, that's just a natural mother wanting the best for her sons. And then Jesus has to correct them. This is why, brethren, this is why you should be thankful that we can fellowship around the Word.
Amen.
And that the Word is always in the body to keep us on line with the Word.
Yeah.
That's why even the disciples should have been happy that even though Jesus was correcting them in Matthew 24, the Word was there to keep them aligned,
right,
to keep them in the right place. Is politics played in the home sometimes? Or I shouldn't be call it played, but can you see how children,
yep,
to get their will,
yep,
will sort of manipulate a situation?
Yep.
And you see how the politics is trying to find something to some allegiance.
How does the children help to change the will of the Father to their will? Who are they going to use? Mum.
Yeah.
Is it possible, sisters? Huh? It is possible, eh? And what they're going to work on? Mum's will. Emotions, mum's feelings, mum's sense of right. Well, where does the sense of right come from? Mystery Babylon. Oh, you poor kids. Why do you have to be so hurt? And then looking for some compromise. Looking to stretch the boundaries. My children were expert in stretching the boundaries. But if my kaupapa is Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever, the kaupapa that I had 30 years ago is still the same kaupapa today. Because I won't stretch the rules. They come back older. I can't say wiser. But older, and think they can implement their will in my heart? No. Because the kaupapa is the same. Do they try to? Of course. And then I've got to, it's not for me compromise. I got to tell them sometimes, yeah, man, put some clothes on here. You know? Or the old dad frown. Now, do the mums give the mum frown, or is it just the dad give the dad frown? Mums too, eh? Give it to them. Now, this is why I'm saying politics is not always easily discerned. But come at it with how we saw it in the scripture here. What is the objective? What is the motive? Okay, what's the will? What's God's will in the word? What's our motive? Like I always let my girls know when they come home. What the dress code is like, because they, it's like, what? And if I don't uphold a standard, they're going to push things as far away as is possible. Because without them even knowing it, they are putting pressure on my belief. They are actually disrespecting what I believe. And that's a form of politics. And it's not hard for those things to slip into the church if we don't keep the standard of the word. Like I said, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, let me just read that quote again from that message, Perfect Faith, because I thought it was a real classic. And then we'll get back to the colonialism. The Lord was saying in Perfect Faith, always remember, church, God's words are true. I believe the right mental attitude towards any divine promise of God will bring it to pass if you can look at it in the right way. Now, what did he say? The right mental attitude. Now, that's important, because first you've got to believe it in the heart. You've got to line up your head with your heart, because in your mind you're actually fighting colonialism. You're fighting terrestrialism. And there's a big difference between terrestrial and colonialism.
And we'll get to that, Lord willing. He said, the first thing I want to find out whether it's the will of God or not. Now, do we always want that? I don't know. I don't know. Sometimes I think we know it's not the will of God. And this is what I'm going to do. And then you pay the price later, right?
Yeah.
So we can be staunch in the service and say, no, I always want the will of the Lord.
Yeah.
Well, he always reveals his will. But how come you don't always get it right?
Yes.
It's because we heard the word, we understand the word, and we already had our program set. True? Or what? Now that's got to change. We've got to be able to walk in the will of God to be able to raise us up into rapturing faith.
Yeah.
Now, to me, that's more important than some popularity,
yeah.
Eh? And more important than, what's some of those other things? It's more important than money.
Yeah.
Because money is tied to the black horse.
Yeah.
Faith ain't tied to the black horse. Money is. Sometimes the mental attitudes are so ingrained in us because we were bashed with it at schools,
yeah,
in the educational system. And that's where feelings get in the way. Oh, God will understand. God knows my heart. Of course he knows your heart. He knows it's black as when you go against what his will is. Let me finish this before I think. First thing I want to find out whether it's the will of God or not. Now, always, brethren, always find out, is this God's will or is it my will? That's why we went through a little while ago on how to find God's will for our lives. You know, you take for an example when Brother Calvin, Sister Siobhan, Brother Siu,
yeah,
Sister Maureen, when they all came back from Melbourne.
Yeah.
Man, they had to find out whether this was the mind of the Lord or not. And when they realized that was the will of the Lord, What did you have to overcome? Self-will? Outside influences, which is the will of man, to be able to fulfill the will of the Lord. And then there was some, would have been some internal jockeying going on. Eh? Because you've got to be united in the move. And then there may have been some politics coming from the children and the whānau. What good thing could come out of Moriwa? See, sister, it would have been the same. Sister Naomi would have been the same, not only coming over here, but then when you come here, you're traveling all the way to Auckland for fellowship. Huh? And then to be able to make a decision to come a little bit closer up to Moriwa. Would have been some political realms, would have been some religious realms, huh? But then the main thing is to know,
yep,
the mind of the Lord.
Yeah.
Once you got the mind of the Lord, the politics is still going to be there.
Yeah.
But you want to stand on the word. The influence of man will still come. But if you're standing by revelation, the influence of man ain't going to have an effect. And then you're realizing that you're raising up into that realm. You're raising up into that place.
I was just thinking of the type of Jonah, you know, how Jonah was running away from the will of the Lord to go to Nineveh. Oh, not Nineveh. Yeah, go to Nineveh. And then
Tarshish,
yeah. And then I remember you asked us, but was it the will of the Lord that he still had to go through that fish, because that became a part of his journey to transform even the people of Nehemiah, you know, of Tarshish.
Well, that was permissive will.
Yeah.
But if he would have moved in the perfect will, he wouldn't have had to go through the belly experience and the storm experience. So because he went into the permissive will of God, was walking away from the will of God, where did he get his influence from? Where do you think he got his influence? Where did Jonah get the influence?
To walk away.
Anybody?
What he'd heard about the city. Probably because they were...
No, keep it simple. It's either self-will or the will of man. So what was that one?
Self-will.
I believe it would have been self-will. He talked himself out of it.
Yeah.
God commissioned him, give him his will, talked him out of it. So now if he's moving in self-will, he's in permissive will.
Yeah.
Right? Perfect will, gone to Nineveh, would have cracked it without the pain. So remember, it's with the hiding or without the hiding. You still got to walk in the will. And did he get a reward? He didn't see it as a reward. He's sitting up on the mountain waiting for the fire to fall with a bad attitude. And he's just walked in the will of the Lord. So then it's understanding, is this the will of man or is this self-will? What were you going to say for the chief?
I was just going to say, like, had there been a name or a name in the, on that boat, then they would have been looking for the will of the Lord. It wouldn't be a permissible after that.
Been a what?
Like, let's say if there was like a name in the book, you know, if there was that was on the boat.
Mm-hmm.
So does that still become permissible, or was that the perfect will of the Lord? Why he's ended up on the boat? Or am I just getting a bit too technical here?
No, I can understand where you're coming from. It's a good question. I think it's still, see, what happens here is that sometimes people can use that in this way. Now that shows it was the will of the Lord.
Yeah.
But the perfect will was to go and preach in Nineveh.
Yeah.
Even if there was a soul along the way, you think that it's because of our own self-will that it's actually going to bring forth fruit that'll stay?
True.
He might have found somebody that's enthusiastic on the boat. And he's now he can justify, praise the Lord, I had an opportunity to talk to somebody about the Lord.
Yeah.
That's still self-will.
Self-will.
Yeah. And then because he's walked in his own will, there's a bit of suffering that has to take place. But even in the suffering, there's things that can take place. Hey? Because the suffering isn't for the followers on the boat. That's why Jonah says it's because of me that the storm has come. He understood that. But Mike?
Might have been walking in circumstance.
Absolutely. Because once you get out of the will of the Lord, we're walking in the terrestrial, we're not seeing right. But we're looking for a way to be able to justify our actions.
And then he wasn't listening to his pastor.
Yeah, Pastor Jesus. That was a commission. It was pretty straight, eh? Go down to Nineveh, preach the word. But he's running from the presence. Now look at it, because, you know, when we walk in self-will, we can use any old excuse to justify walking in self-will.
didn't hear his father and listen to his father. The two, the prophet Jordan.
Say again, what was that?
The two that Joshua and Caleb.
Yep.
He must have read his Bible. So they listened to the Lord and done what he said. They
right.
learned to listen to
him. Right.
Rather than to do it the other way.
You see, you take that example, right? They were those two spies, well, 12 of them actually. They went over, they were to spy at the land, they were all given the same instruction. But Joshua and Caleb, they took the word to their heart. They walked in everything that the word revealed. These other fellows were moved by their feelings, moved by their emotions. Moved by a sense of colonialism that these fellows, these giants, are more superior to us that are inferior. And that was because of what? Why did they look at things like that? Eh? Because of Egypt.
Yeah.
Because they've been in bondage for 400 years. So they haven't broken out of a slave mentality.
Right.
They see the giants.
Yeah.
And then they persuade the people not to walk in the word. I tell you, there's some deep things in this understanding of colonialism and breaking that mental attitude.
And we look at the scripture and then we know what they've done wrong and then we learn from it.
Right.
Jonah sort of learned from Joshua and Caleb.
True.
By reading the Bible.
True.
Just can't.
So then the Lord was sending him down and he didn't have perfect faith. He didn't have perfect love. Eh?
True.
And he sent him anyway. Interesting, eh?
Yeah.
But he knew he had the potential to fulfill the word. So sometimes he takes us into situations to give us a Calvary experience.
Yeah.
And that's what it is.
It's
Calvary experience. Because
oh.
You think that while he was walking in the will of the Lord, the heavenly places were supporting him. And that was one of the keys. Heaven was behind him. And I don't think it was his personality because I don't even think that he had a love for the Ninevites. But look at the impact the ministry of the word had. And he showed his attitude when he's up on the mountain, he's waiting for the fire to fall.
Yeah.
And man, he just preached one of the greatest messages that had the people in sackcloth and ashes. And the whole attitude of that whole place was changed because of his preaching. And then he sad sack again. It's interesting. But you have a look at those same patterns when the children of Israel were 70 years down in bondage, down in Babylon. And they come home, they've still got slave mentality. And now they got to be taught the word. Now they have to have a word revival. Now they've got to go and get the books. Ezra's got to open up the word. They've got to find the book again. Bring that book back. And then they understand the time and the season. It's always the word that breaks the amnesia, brings us into the season, brings us into the will of God, and then we walk in it. But look at the fear that they had for Sanballat and Tobias. They had Babylon was in the treasury.
Yeah.
They had money lenders around the temple gate.
Yeah.
And nobody would touch it because that had to be cleaned up. That was Jesus with the whip chasing the black horse out.
Sure.
That was Nehemiah coming to those sellers and saying, if you are here tomorrow, I'll lay hands on you. And that's not to pray for them. Hey? No, no, he had a clear understanding. This is the thing. So if the ministry's got a clear understanding, the desire is to see the people with a clear understanding. Because he knew what it takes to break this, to go from, to be able to see and live from eternity to eternity. That's what we were talking about on Sunday. And it's be transformed by the renewing of your minds. Let me finish this because I know it's getting late, but that's why I wanted you fellas to start at 7 and sucked up my time. So, objective, motive, if it's the will of God and my objective is right and my motive is right, I have faith that it'll be done. Now look at that. Objective and motive is right, then I have faith. You cannot produce faith for something that's not his will. If it's not his will, faith doesn't come unless it's to fulfill the will of the Lord. And if you're not walking by faith, what are you walking by? Self-will, you're walking by doubt. You're walking by fear.
Everything comes. Take a picture.
It was not by faith. Or you can say, now the Lord told me. Show me in the word.
Yo.
Because first, if it's the will of God and I have and my objective is to glorify him and my motive is to give him all the glory.
Yeah.
Well, our motive and our objective might be to fulfill those things, but it's not his will. He said, so there's no selfish motive about it. That's self-will.
Yeah.
If you have a selfish motive, it won't work. Now, we with our gifts can make it look like it worked. But it was human effort and it was human faith.
Yeah.
There's a big difference between human faith and divine faith.
Yeah.
Human faith is our will, not supported by the word.
Yeah.
And that's our human faith. Now the Lord showed me. We'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see whether the Lord showed you or not. And then you can line up all your ducks. You can show this is why. Look at this happen. Look at this happen. And that's only to satisfy your own conscience. But when you've got to come back to the fact because the Lord will hold that to you until you make it right.
True.
And then you have to come to the conclusion, Lord, I was out of your will.
Yeah.
Because in your heart, you'll know it.
Yeah.
Then you got to come to him, Lord, you knew my heart.
Yeah.
I wanted to do right, but I see that wasn't your will. And that's what it means to humble ourselves to the word. And then when we humble ourselves to the word, now he comes, he cleanses, he takes away the condemnation of any wrong. Now you start with a clean slate and you are now a candidate for the supernatural. Because this is why I believe there was not enough supernatural manifestation in 2024. Is because of these things. Can you see it? I want you to be able to see it, meditate on it until you see it. Because if there's things that we need to make right with him for the supernatural channel to come, to be able to humble ourselves 100% to the word, then it'll come on the scene. Because the prophet goes on to say this. So there's a genuine faith, but you must come into the real channel of God to have that genuine faith. Now we can have fruit. For an example, I don't call, and this is what I was looking at when I was opening up part of the thought. I heard myself praying about it, actually, about leaves and fruit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I had fellowship with these denominational ministers today. That was fellowship. That was leaves. Leaves is important to build up a rapport, build up a trust. But what fruit? Great atmosphere. They want more.
Yeah.
More what? Leaves. Well, I want fruit.
Oh.
This is what I'm doing, you know, down in my garden. I don't want leaves. I've got masses of leaves on my pumpkins, on my watermelon. And I don't want the energy just to be sucked into the leaves. You have a look at my tomato plants. They look like bald rats. But there's a lot of fruit. Because if I can prune up some of the fellowship, some of the leaves, the energy is now going into the fruit.
Yeah.
And that's what I've been doing the last couple of weeks, is pruning leaves. Jesus, when he came to the fig tree,
yeah.
What did the fig tree have?
Leaves.
Leaves. And Jesus didn't come for leaves. He came for fruit.
Yeah.
And when there was no fruit, what did he do to the tree? He cursed the tree. Well, that was it. That was it. This is, I looked at this because it wasn't the season for figs. And he cursed the tree. So what I'm seeing is a higher realm of thinking.
Yeah.
Like if we looked at that and we thought about it and we thought, oh, but it wasn't, that's unfair. No, the will and the word of the Lord is always perfect.
Yeah.
So I've got to elevate my thinking. You know, that's that song that we sung. I think we sung it out to the service, eh? Elevate your thinking, Lord. No more popularity, no more insecurity. Death to politics.
Yeah.
And whatever it may be, we lift the hands of the ministry.
Yeah.
And this is the thing. Elevate thinking. That's what I'm thinking. He comes down to that tree. No fruit, curses it. They come back and they see the impact of what happened. Because what was the Lord going to do? He was actually going to do that to all the religious systems.
No.
All they had was leaves and no fruit.
Yeah.
But then he teaches we have to be instant what?
In season
and out of season. Because if we are a tree, we are a tree of life. We should always be bearing what? Leaves. Fruit. So too much cup of tea. Sometimes too much fellowship and not enough fruit. But there has to be a balance. Because I have to try this in the natural realms, right? Because I got to a place where I was pruning the leaves of my tomatoes, right? Because all the energy was going into tomatoes. And then I have to know when to stop cutting the leaves. When I look at the condition of that tomato plant, and there's not enough leaves for photosynthesis. But the goodies that are coming, the nutrients that are coming through the vine is going past those leaves and entering into the fruit.
Right.
So if I see that the condition is deteriorating, because that's what sometimes happens, lack of fellowship. So if there's not enough fellowship, it's going to struggle to bear fruit. But if there's too much fellowship and too much leaves, all the energy is going into the fellowship and nothing for the fruit. Right. The balance. And I look at the condition of the plant. I looked at my plants. I don't have to watch YouTube. I've got to be in tune with my creation. I go in there. That's my Garden of Eden. I go in there. I look at that plant. And I'm experimenting all the time. And I think, now, the plant is not growing. The fruit's not growing.
Yeah.
I better leave those leaves alone. And now when I'm perfecting it, I get to the next lot because I've got them staggered so that these ones are bearing fruit. While they're bearing fruit, these ones are coming into fruit. And these ones, they got no fruit. Right? Rotational planting to extend my season. So then, after I've learned the principle, by the next stage, I should have perfected it. And I got a really good mix because the next ones have got the right amount of leaves and are producing more fruit than my guinea pigs. And I'm not saying you all are guinea pigs. But I'm fine-tuning these things. I'm fine-tuning the balance. But what it is, I'm not fine-tuning my processes. I'm fine-tuning my sensitivity. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I'm in tune. This is why I didn't want the probation workers to come and work in my mother. No way. Sensitive to everything that's around you, and that's how it comes. So how do we become sensitive to the things of the Lord? Fellowship with him first, but he's so sensitive about the fruit because he comes down in the time of the harvest. He looks at a tree. It's been 2 years in the church and it still hasn't produced any fruit. He says, why cumber the ground? Eh? Get rid of it. The vine dresser comes and, oh Lord, let me dig about the roots. Look at him unfolding a mystery of redemption. Look at him sensitive to what's happening in his vineyard. Let me just dig around the roots a little. Let me fertilize the roots. And then if it doesn't, and praise the Lord that it'll bring forth fruit, but if it doesn't bring forth fruit, you cut it down. That's intercession. That's a mystery of redemption. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
That's a balance. Because we are husbandmen. We are bringing forth fruit from our vineyard. He is the vine and we are the branches and it's the branches that bear fruit.
Yeah.
So what was he first saying? If it don't bear fruit, cut it down. But the intercessor allowed. He's not looking for leaves. He's looking for fruit. That's what 2025 is all about. Producing fruit. Are you satisfied with tenfold? I'm not satisfied with tenfold. Are you satisfied with 50-fold? Me neither. If I can see that full potential is 100-fold, that's what I'm looking for. I actually go through now, I go through my watermelon. And some of them are just a whole heap of leaves. The whole vine. You've got a couple of flowers, one flower here. 2 meters down that same vine is another flower. Mate. Why come with it again? Boom. I made a couple of mistakes. when one of those big vines was a big watermelon like this, and I thought, oh, well, there's our sampler right there. He's coming home. I made about four mistakes like that. Why? Because I'm trying to follow the vine, and I didn't quite get it right. Lacked sensitivity. No, he's right. I lacked sensitivity because I was in a rush and I didn't follow the vine. Right? And I get over here and I think it's this vine. Snip. Okay, good. I'll harvest this. Put that in the fridge. Let me finish the quote. Sorry. Now, that's why I wanted to show the principle. There's human faith, then there's faith of God.
Yeah.
And you must have a godly faith to believe. Now then, to have godly faith, you must have the mind of Christ in you. Then that's how God projects to you visions. See what I mean? You have to be in the mind of Christ, and then visions come. Visions in the Word, revelations, all of these things comes by the mind of Christ being in you. Let this mind that was in Christ be in you. And then what? That's why it is to all believers, they're a mystic. Why did those denominational people today enjoy themselves in our presence? Because we're a mystic. A mystic is something that doesn't think the way that this world thinks. They think out of the box.
Yeah.
The people don't understand because they live in a world to themselves.
Yeah.
That's where we should become. Jesus lived in a world that nobody else could touch. The disciples couldn't understand him. Why? They didn't have the Holy Ghost. And sometimes we can't understand it, but you know it's the truth anyway. I don't understand it, Lord, but I believe it, and that seals it.
Yeah.
So he said, see, they wasn't in the world that he lived in.
Mm-hmm.
We come from another world.
Yeah.
We think from another world. We're in this world, but we're not of this world. They couldn't understand him. Nobody could understand him. I hope you can understand him. And so when a man lives by faith and walks by faith, I mean substance faith, he is isolated from the entire world and becomes a new creature in Christ. You've come out of her, my people. There now you're getting into bride material. You're getting into bride material now. See, you're getting into rapturing condition now. And that's where we have to be, saints. We have to be not talking about rapturing faith. We have to be in rapturing condition. If the Lord says this, there's nobody in the world can talk you out of it. You go right on just the same. Now you're coming into perfect faith. Perfect perfection that cannot fail. That faith never fails. Yet he was a mystic to them, his perfect faith. And so is it now with those who have perfect faith, are mystics to others. Because of the mystery of Christ being fulfilled in you. Now, I haven't even got to it, but what I was wanting to say was one of the greatest hindrances to perfect faith or to going back into Edenic conditions is the effects of mystery Babylon.
Yeah.
Colonial thinking. Right? And that's when I started to give you the definitions of what colonialism is, colonialism is all about. This is not the prophet saying this. This is something that I was looking at and then aligning it to how these things affected me down through my life, because that's how I got to do it. In essence, colonialism is an act of political and economic domination. Now, if I change that word of colonialism into mystery Babylon, the effects of mystery Babylon is an act of political and economic domination. Political, what color horse is that?
Red.
Red horse. Economical,
black
horse. And then a little bit further down, they used what they call Christianity, which was Roman Catholic. That's your white horse. So the whole lot combined, your colonialism is actually, the roots of it is come from a pale horse rider whose name is Death, and all of hell is following him.
Cultivation,
yeah. And this is the thing, is cultivation where? What do you think they're trying to cultivate? The mind. They win the battle in the mind. Now, what was the first battle that was raging in heaven?
Yeah.
Between Lucifer and his angels and Michael and his angels. And Michael is a type of Christ. That was the first battle in heaven. And when the battle came down to earth, it was a battle of expression. And the battleground was in the mind, the greatest battle ever fought. Mike? Right. Be not conformed to this world. Be not cultivated to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. And that to me is the key. Because colonialism is using politics, religion, and the economy.
Yeah.
White horse, red horse, black horse combined into a pale horse whose name is Death. Colonialism comes from the pale horse rider. Colonialistic thinking. In most cases, the goal of colonizing countries is to profit by exploiting the human and economic resources of the countries they colonized. So when you look at that, we're talking about a human slave market, right? And then you're talking about controlling the resources of the nation.
Yeah.
That's colonialization. So they want to use the resources of our moana, of our ngāere, right? They want to use the resources of the minerals, of our water, all of these things. And they want to not only take our resources, but they want to use us as a slave system to work their profits. So they want to pinch our resources and use us to pinch our resources. We are the slaves to help them pinch our resources. And look at how many minds are stuck in colonialism and stuck in the worship of the beast and don't even know it. And in the message, we should know and understand these things. You know, this is why I really want to get back to an economy by faith. That's why I talk about it so much. That's how I got to put it into practice. That's why I got to change my appetite and find a liking for salad. But I'm learning so much from it. That's the other thing. An awareness, a sensitivity. And then, you know, because God gave us dominion. He allowed us to be able to, if we got dominion, and who wants to take that dominion God gave us away? Mystery Babylon. The pale horse rider whose name is death. So I would prefer to yield myself to him. So what I'm looking at, and we'll look at a few types and patterns down through the scripture, is how do we break from a colonial mentality? What's that? The pattern that I said, get back to the word. Get back to the word and the will of God. Right. That's the principle.
Yeah.
But the colonial mentality of it, it's cheaper to buy it in back and say. Now, what is this age? Laodicea. Human rights, lukewarm, either hot or cold. And this is what I'm talking about. If I want to shake myself free from Mystery Babylon, then I'm not a candidate to their price rises. I'm serious about it, brethren. I mean, I'm making my storehouse. Brother Valeri and Sister Anne, they actually gave me some of the seeds from Lithuania. And they're looking at, they're thinking, my goodness, this is more than just for you. I said, of course, it's more than just for me. Because I would only need a quarter of that size to sustain our whānau. Because I want to come into an economy without money, without price.
Yeah.
And what's the difference? The physical work is good for my health. Hey? The sensitivity is a sharpness. I still have to find out the secret of keeping the caterpillars and the white butterflies at bay. But I'm not talking about man's way. I'm talking God's way. I want to bring them under subjection to the word. You got a hand for something?
Your question, brother, how could I overcome these things? That's what we were saying.
It's a roitic question, Brother Neville, because I already know the answer.
The answer your prayer changes things. Lead not to our own understanding. I'll just ask you, we've been praying.
Now, why do you think I asked the question? Well, was I asking the question for me or for everybody else? Right. Yeah. So part of it is prayer, yes. But part of it is what Adam had in perfect faith. Right? He could actually speak to the animals.
Yeah.
He could commune with them. And like for an example, I took 40 cabbages and I left probably 15. Well, that's for them. They can eat those, but leave mine alone. These are mine. So I give some to the minor birds and what do you call those mongrel things?
Magpies.
Magpies, yeah. Give some to the magpies, not out of choice at the moment, but I'll give them some gleanings. They're part of God's creation. My mind, my terrestrial, I'm going to hunt those things. We get a 22. I know where they live. I know their habitat. I'm a hunter. I follow their habitats. I see, this is where they go to roost. I'll go and meet them, have some fellowship with them under that tree. Hey?
Wasn't so in the beginning.
On a roll. So, but he's right. If I'm going back to a faith, an economy by faith, then I've got to be able to get to a place where there's a harmony in that. I've got to find the balance. I've got to come to that place. And I ain't going to use dearest dust. I ain't going to use these kind of things. I've got to be sensitive and to know how I can do this. Now, if I find that balance, it's either like I cast out devils, but is that part of God's creation? And what is the benefits of that creation? Or am I just being greedy with my harvest? Or is there a pattern in the scripture? See, this is the thing, is breaking into those kind of realms to be so sensitive to the economy. Brother Dave.
It's just progressive revelation.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You don't get the whole cake.
Yeah.
You don't get the whole cake, just put it in together. You got to mix it, get the right mix.
Right.
Put it in the right environment, come up with the thing, and that comes from personal experience.
That's
and
it.
God unveils the rest. So it's just a progressive, like you've got to take the first step to get to the second step.
Yeah.
And he'll unveil to you more and more by what we put in by the faith.
Right. That's good. And that's a part of it too. This is a progressive book because, like for me personally, I haven't been this way before. I've preached about it. I've seen these things in the Word so clear. But the husbandman must be your first partaker of the fruit. I'm thinking to myself, man, I'm going to go and get my mokko slug gun and deal with these minor birds or magpies or whatever they are. But no, it wasn't so from the beginning. Because that is colonialism, eh? When you look at it, because I don't want to just be in harmony with my mother,
right,
and with the seasons. I want to be in harmony with the whole creation.
Yeah.
And we can't be doing things halfway. Get back to Eden.
Right.
Yeah. Back to a faith civilization. Back to a civilization by faith.
And I think they made a point of showing me. I can't touch them, and they live in the Utah in my lifetime.
Yeah.
What I'm finding in the text is that I knew that was there, but I didn't know the detail that was in it.
Right.
Through the experience, like from the Martha, from where we started, even with the programs, the vision of the programs, when we got that.
Yeah, Kiana, yeah.
The mystery was in there. I didn't know the mystery.
Right.
The ministry slowly unveiling itself.
Right.
It's coming through actually messages.
And it's fine tuning everything, eh? Because we walk in the Word, we walk in His will, and then He unfolds more. Watch more unfold. And if we can go back to Edenic conditions, going back to a perfect faith, we've got to overcome mental colonialism. Or the brainwashing of society. Because you guys get that part. I want you to get and read in the Pergamene Church Age. Paragraph 122. Now remember, I bought this at the last part and I was a little bit pressed for time. So I went through it a bit quick.
Paragraph,
Church Age book in the Pergamene Church Age, paragraph 122. And just write this down so you can get the right phrase. You recall that in Revelations 13:3 it says, and you'll get the quote. Now, I read myself personally the whole area from about paragraph 120 right down to uh, 133, and now what that shows you is how the prophet was talking about what colonialism was all about, but he was talking about Mystery Babylon. He was talking about Roman Catholic Church. That's the religious realms. He was talking about the political realms. He was talking about a priesthood. And anyone, they squash mystics that know the word and preach the word. So they kill the influence of true believers. And that's what the world is still doing today. And then he spoke about how they begin to a doctrine to elevate bishops. So that they're building a hierarchy. And anyone that stands for the truth of the word becomes a heretic and a cult. And you watch all of these big societies. You watch World Health Organization, United Nations, European Union. Anything that goes against the what are the policies that they're laying out is heretic. See, Jacinda, when they were saying only the government has the truth, no one else has any truth, don't listen to any outside voices. The fear tactic is anybody that speaks against what their policies are is a heretic. Anybody who was supporting President Putin is a Putin sympathizer. And then they build fear, and then they squash them with all sorts of penalties and all the different carry-on. That's colonialism. So nobody, they promote a voice of freedom, but when you speak the truth, they want to kill you. Now, that is in society. That's ingrained in society. So I don't know. Maybe the Brother Steen, maybe they'll change their tune Trump is wanting to take Greenland. Hey, now maybe the government will start to rebel, because I heard your government was now thinking about having a talk with Putin about Greenland. Crazy, eh? When it comes down to territorial things, they're looking for alliances. Now, if we have the will of God and the mind of God for a matter, I don't need any other alliance. My alliance is with him. That's it. That settles it. Anyway, look at that, because I want you to be able to see what colonialism is in the message from the point of view of what the prophet was teaching. And then I want to you to weigh these things up, because I don't want you to be affected by Mystery Babylon in any decision making that we have, or to be influenced in any way. And then I believe we'll see the supernatural manifesting himself amongst us in a far greater way for 2025. All good? So we'll just bow our heads in word of prayer. I've kept you. It's already 9:45 now. And but this is what I mean, brethren. I really want us to understand what direction we're heading in. and what impact that it can have in our the fruit of the supernatural God amongst us.
Amen.
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 So let's just bow our heads in a word of prayer. And gracious Father, I believe, Lord, there is a channel of inspiration opening to us. And a lot of these things we've heard, but Lord, I want to come into a place where we can say, I've heard, but now I see.
Yep.
Help us to keep a balance between fellowship, but in the time of the harvest, Lord, help us to be more mindful of fruit.
Yeah.
Not fruit of human faith, not fruit of self-will or the will of men, but the supernatural fruit of us walking in the will of God. Lord, I can see, even as your prophet was saying, I want to show by my life I'm bride material.
Yeah.
And I want to show, oh God, a rapturing faith condition.
Yeah.
Because, Lord, to be able to see and live from eternity to eternity, surely then we're not looking in a glass darkly, but we're seeing face to face. And that can only happen, Lord, when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part can be done away with. I know there's still land to be possessed, Lord. I know this is still a part of a progressive revelation, but I don't want to just prove these things in the word. I want to prove these things in the natural too. I don't want to show just my faith. I want to show my faith and my works. And I pray that everyone has the same desire. As James says, show me your faith without your works. I'll show you my faith by my works. And as you said to the Ephesians church age, I don't want us to be an Ephesians church age, Lord, that aimed at perfection and relaxed. They left divine love, and all they had was works.
Yeah.
And even with works, they could justify themselves. Yeah. You looked at their works and you loved them.
Yeah.
But they had works without love. I don't want that, Lord. None of us, Lord, want works without divine love. We want divine love, the continuation of divine love, and then the fulfillment of the works and the fruit to show the will of God being fulfilled in our lives.
Right.
Now help us, Lord, to meditate upon these things.
Right.
Help us to walk in the vision, walk in the fruit of the word that's being ministered.
Yes.
We thank you, Lord. I commit it all into your hands now.
Thank you.
I pray that even though we've extended the time, Lord, you'd give us a good night's rest.
Yeah.
That even those who are going to wake up in the morning to work, Lord, that you give them strength.
Yeah.
It's a little bit of a sacrifice to extend the time, but I believe it'll reap eternal blessings. Grant these things, Father. I want to see the supernatural in full operation in the church. I want to see fruit, Lord, not just fruit that comes and goes. I want to see fruit that stays.
Yeah.
I want our fruit, oh God, to be consistent up in heavenly places.
Yes.
Praise your name, Lord. Our lives, let it be just a life of consistency where we can say, Malcolm, one or the same yesterday, today, and forever. Every one of us can put our name there.
Yeah.
Not just Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever, but we put our names there.
Yeah.
And then, Lord, what a rapturing condition that is. We commit it all into your hands. You see our hearts, Lord God, and our desire to accomplish these things.
Yeah.
May every one of the gifts in the body go up that octave higher.
Yeah.
Let us go beyond fellowship to produce fruit.
Right.
Grant it, Lord, I ask these things
in
the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
Well, brethren, I hope that You got a little bit more from tonight than what Sunday was, because that was the purpose of it, just to be able to get a little bit more detail, strengthen you in the faith, and then watch more unfold.
Yep.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. God bless you. God bless you, Steen, Sister Julie,
yes.
Sister Roxanne. God bless you, Sister Susan, Sister Maya. I saw Elijah, so you must have had a little bit of a break. Thank you.